This is All Things Considered on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Peter Biello. 10 years ago, policymakers in New Hampshire made an ambitious promise: end homelessness by 2016. But as we heard earlier today, we haven't got there yet. Today, NHPR reported the story of one homeless man, Gene Parker, who lived on the streets of Concord for 5 years before getting killed by a car this winter. Kathy Kuhn directs New Hampshire's Coalition to End Homelessness, and she joins me now in the studio. Kathy, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
So first, Kathy, I'd just love to ask you if you knew Gene Parker and can talk about his death this winter, which rippled across the homeless and advocate community here in Concord.
Yeah, I did not know Gene personally. I know that his death really did raise awareness about some of the issues that we are seeing in some of our communities across the state. Of course, it was extremely tragic, and there were many, many folks who knew him, who, you know, had worked with him, who were really trying to get him into housing. And unfortunately, that just didn't happen fast enough. And really, we're trying to figure out some better ways that we can respond more quickly so that these sorts of things don't happen in the future.
It seems like back in 2006, there was a real political moment when politicians, advocates, police officers, all were really rallying around the idea of ending homelessness. Mm-hmm. And so there was a decision to write the 10-year plan to end homelessness. Take us back to that moment, if you could. What was it like then?
Yeah, so this was sort of momentum that was happening across the country. Communities were being encouraged to write these plans to end homelessness, and many communities across the country wrote these plans. And you're right, it really did represent a coming together of folks from many different sectors to really try and focus on this issue. From the time that we wrote it, one thing that we've learned is that when you're writing these plans, you know, 10 years is a really long time. Once you're 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 years into it, the realities have really changed. You know, the environmental realities, the realities of what the population is facing, the budgetary realities. And so oftentimes, once you're 5 years into it, it can be hard to, you know, sort of go back and try to measure what you've done or try to really look at that plan going forward because you're in really a different sort of context, a different environmental reality.
Certainly it wouldn't happen overnight, but here we are 10 years later after the initial 10-year plan. By the state's own count, on one night this winter, there were 1,369 homeless people in the state, and the Department of Education counted more than 3,000 homeless school kids in 2013. Those numbers have changed, of course, since 2013, but why are we so far from reaching the goal of ending homelessness at this point?
First of all, there have been some gains. Overall homeless numbers have been reduced since 2011 in our state, and we're very, very excited about that. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with resources. Homelessness is a very complex problem. There are so many different things that can drive an individual or a family into homelessness. So, you know, we're talking about the coming together of many different systems of services that we need to have them come together in order to really make a difference on this issue. So we're talking about, you know, mental health services, childcare services, employment services, physical health services. All of that is needed if we're really going to make a difference in solving this issue. Not to mention the most important piece, which is the housing.
Tell us about Housing First and how it can be used for everybody who might be homeless.
Yeah, so Housing First really was developed primarily for folks who are sort of the longtime homeless, those chronic homeless populations. And it was developed with the recognition that sometimes they're not able to become sort of housing ready before they get into a program.
And what does that mean, housing ready?
So in the past, homeless service providers would say, you know, before we put you into housing, we want to try and stabilize you. We want you to be successful in your housing, so we want to try to stabilize you.
Stabilize meaning if they are addicted to a drug?
Yeah,
sure,
let's get
sober.
You some assistance there. You know, maybe we can try to get you an income, those sorts of things. Housing First kind of turns that on its head and says, you know what, we need to put you into housing first, and then we can work with you to stabilize you. So it's a very low barrier housing model where folks who may have criminal backgrounds, that the barrier there would be lower, and that, you know, if you're using, that you wouldn't be precluded from entering housing because you were using, things like that, extremely low barrier housing. And you're right that the research has been showing across the country that it can be very successful in getting those who are the most chronically homeless, the most vulnerable off the streets quickly. And so I think communities across our state are really just sort of implementing that now for the most part. So I don't think it's, you know, over the past decade, I don't even think a decade ago we were really talking so much about housing first, at least here in New Hampshire.
Right. But no firm numbers on either how many people or how much it would have saved?
In New Hampshire, I have not seen a study done. I've seen some in other areas of the country that can show anywhere from, you know, $10,000 to $50,000 in terms of, you know, funding saved from just housing one single person.
Well, Kathy, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.